We have the great honor of having with us, from Washington, Hagoyin Reb Aaron Lapiansky. He's Rosh Yeshiva of Greater Washington for 23 years. There are about 400 students, high school, two high schools, and a Beis Medrash. He's an Edim of the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, L'Havdol Ben Achaim, Rebbeinu Shvinkel. It's a great honor to have you with us, Reb Aaron.
Thank you. Yes, it's nice to touch base again, Reb David.
Many years later. So, Reb Aaron, you recently put out a sefer called Orches Chaim, which one of the Haskamas said, it's like a Heintige Misils Yisharim, but B'nai Torah, for who leave yeshiva. And it's true. I went through the whole sefer, pretty much the entire sefer. First of all, it's similar to the Misils Yisharim in the respect is it's spearing on words. It's not some 400-page sefer. It's around 175 pages, which means, and they're carefully worded, so it's easy to understand, and it's not full of incredible chidushim. There are many chidushim, but a lot of it is things, ikrei amuna, ikrei hadas, that you sort of touched into a very contemporary and practical way. And from my personal overview, I think every ben Torah, whoever leaves yeshiva or think of it, has to have this in his house. Could you share with us what inspired you to write this, and tell us a little bit about, you know, sort of headlines about the sefer?
First of all, I'm a bit uncomfortable with the comparisons of Sils Yisharim. I would say a lot uncomfortable.
It's not my comparison. It's I think Reb Aaron Feldman made the comparison.
I think Novominska.
The Novominska Rebbe.
I believe there's a certain Avim Kakel, for sure. But be it as it may, cutting a little bit the fluff, Tachlis, I think what I tried to do more was to give a structure for issues. In other words, this the Ramchal also says in his Akdamah to Derech Hashem that there's a big difference between a clutter of yediyas or a very structured approach or something. And this is why he writes the same thing about Derech Hashem, that you may not find any particular chidushim, but the structure itself is important. So it's a sefer that actually came in the wake of something. There was, I'm involved in something called Cloud Perspectives, which was an online journal. It unfortunately is, meanwhile, kind of in limbo because one of the very important members who did a lot of the work, that Moshe Bain, is now head of OU, and that took precedence. But it was an online journal where we tried to have a quarterly, and each journal was devoted to another issue, and we solicited 13, 14 articles from people who would have knowledge about the issue or the challenge and would write about it. We had one that was worded a little bit differently. It was worded about grappling with all the different duties and obligations that's expected of a balabas. You know, you should learn, you should daven, you should run a business, you should be machanah with your kids, you spend time with your wife, you should do community work, et cetera, et cetera. And they had, you know, the dozen or 14 articles. It received such a volume of response, and most of it was, you're touching on a point that's been bothering me, you're touching on something that's so meaningful, so important to me. Someone asked to translate that issue into French, and it was incredible. And I said to myself, I think that, you know, this is something that hasn't been spoken about enough. And over the years, because the yeshiva here, most of the boys, the vast majority, go into some profession. The yeshiva allows at some point for doing, you know, college work and getting a degree, etc. So we've dealt with it, and it slowly began to form, and I did spend a lot of time actually structuring it. I redid the structure because I tried to make it not many problems, but let's see if we can sort of build a tree. So that's where I came from. And it's a topic that, to me, is it brought out a lot of emotion from me because I live with people. I know how they feel. I know the struggles. And so that's where the sefer came about.
So, Reb Aaron, let me ask you, I think it's an obvious question. When I finished the sefer, I'm actually up to the last paragraph, the last chat, the last section. It's between us and Hashem.
Right.
How is it? I just kept asking myself the same question. How is it that it's thousands of years of Svarim that we have, and I can't think of a comparable Sefer, something that touches on such a simple and obvious thing. What do you do the day after you leave yeshiva? It's like what to do in the morning, what to do at night, what kol, which bis. Nobody, why, how could such a Sefer, how could there be such a void?
So I think that we make a mistake in projecting our sense of society backwards. Remember that for the longest of times, most people lived a very harsh existence, and they were, so a person in Poland 250 years ago, he grew up with the nose to the grindstone. He needed to make parnassa very quickly. Community was very tight. You couldn't leave the community unless you left. It was quite clear what you're supposed to do. Yerush Shemayim was kind of very basic, very strong, very intense. Most people were not Talmid Chachamim. They were Erlich Eden. And it wasn't even a question. It was sort of, even today, Hasidim have somewhat of a different issue with some of these things. So for most people, they went to a cheder when they were bar mitzvah plus. The vast majority of people were working long, hard hours. They were just, you know, and Yerush Shemayim was kind of pashit, and so on. The model that we have today, where people can spend many years in yeshiva, Baruch Hashem do spend many years in yeshiva, and on the other hand, the outside world is a lot more tempting. For the outside world, for a typical Polish sheet or Litvish sheet or whatever, was a peasant selling him wheat. There was no outside world, really. And that's why that skull was, you know, once it burst, it created that problem. So, you know, I don't know that there was, the institutions we have today, the yeshivas, which made a tremendous mapecha, but now needs, you know, now Akash Baruch Hu gave us to fill in the next line. How do you sort of create the segue from yeshiva out?
So, Baron, let me ask you the question. I'm going to turn back the clock on myself.
Yeah.
The year is, I'm guessing, 1988, and I'm married, Baruch Hashem. We had two kids, and I was living, Lakewood was giving me $40 a week. And I didn't want to go on government programs. I just refused. I didn't want to do it. I felt that there was no Kfayt Shemayim in it. And I came home one night, and I told my wife, she says, how are you going to pay next month's rent? I said, I don't know, and we thought about it. So I decided to get a job.
Right.
So for the first 6 months after I left yeshiva, I hid. I didn't show up anywhere. I felt so terrible about it. I didn't tell my parents. I didn't tell my in-laws. I went into Boira Adulam,
yeah.
Right? I didn't know how to deal with it. And everything that I've heard since before my bar mitzvah, until that period, and at that point I graduated high school when I was only 15, so I was already 13 years after, in my PhD in learning being, all came
right.
Like to a crashing end, right?
Right.
What if I came to you and I said, Rabaran, I'm in hiding. I don't know. What would you told me?
So my Rebbe Reb Chaim Shulevitz, one of my Rebbeim, used to be very fond of paradoxes, and he would sometimes hear shmooze, sometimes even shek lolly that would end with a paradox and say, you don't understand it. I do understand it. So I want to tell you a paradox, but I don't know if I understand it, but the paradox is true. I once heard this from somebody, from Rabbi Dali Elfenbein. He's a Rebbe in Merkez HaTorah. He was a chaver of mine in the Mir, a little bit older than me for years, big chacham. And he said he once met an old Yid in Muncie who had the following story. His father, he was a bright young man. His father obviously thought that he's much brighter than he is, Kedakam Shel Yiddish fathers. And at the age of 15, he took him to Rosh Sameach to ask him what his future is. So Rosh Sameach fahared him, and he said, Nishkasha, he could use another 2 years of learning, and then find him a Mlacha Kala Nikia. His father went home. He cried for 3 days and 3 nights. And then he sent him to learn for 2 years. and got a melacha kala nekiya. So this old man observed to my friend, Rabbi Dalia, he said, we're missing two things in our door. Somebody that can tell you to learn 2 years and then get a melacha kala nekiya, and a father that'll cry 3 days and 3 nights over it. I remember the old kufa, and that's why I'm so reluctant when people talk about it. In my days, learning in yeshiva was unheard of. It was beneath. It was like the great Talmid Chacham that people were aware of what the bar mitzvah teaches. And the fact that a person knows how to learn a gemara was already beyond the pale. And it was pretty much the oilam was shaming. And there was a revolution that was incredible. Now, how do you preserve that and be realistic? How do you tell somebody, you know, at this point, mitzad yashus, mitzad this, mitzad that, this is not where you belong. And yes, it's a shame. You didn't become the kiveiga, but this is who you are, and this is what you are, and you need to do what you need to do. It's a tough one. That's why you don't want to ever create a matzav where people don't appreciate and don't understand the godless. And if they have a son or a son-in-law who's shy to it, that this is what they wish for. I'm not talking about money even. I'm talking about just the hashkafa. On the other hand, my father, Zechayna Vracha, went to Slabotka. And before the war, my father had been born probably 1903, that type of tkufa. So he told me, my father was married before the war. He was a businessman. He was from the few yeshivish of Al-Batim in Covenant, Slabotka. And he told me that there would be sometimes a bacher became 24, the mashkiach came over to him, I assume it was Reb Avram that he's talking about, and told him, Baruch Hashem, you've done very well, find a shidduch, find a job, and move on. And it'd be bacherim that they would create a ring around them, nobody should touch them, nobody should do them in a shidduch, they're kulei kodesh. So it takes, it's part of the achrayas of a Rebbe is to be madrich somebody and to make and help a person make some of the harder decisions.
So what would have you told me?
You know what? It depends on the person. You know, there are things where you sometimes have to tell a person the right thing unless you have what it takes to be lemal derech hateva. Let's take a mushroom, something out of learning. So Reb Noach Weinberg, who I taught in Shatora for a few years, did things that were incredible. It came with incredible price in terms of Sefer Nefesh, in terms of Bitochen. So if somebody would come and ask me, I have this plan, I want to give my entire life, my entire family away to do this and this, should I do it? So all of Haraya, I would say this is totally irresponsible, it's totally reckless, it's totally, you know, it's mominous is reckless, and what you're trying to do is crazy, v'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. The Rambam says, and the Rambam says that, you know, one tnai for Shevet Levi is not v'ruchoy. It's a person needs to have what it takes beyond. It's something which, it's the person you're sitting with, trying to understand, is it a momentary crisis? Is it a dead end for the person? And at the end of the day, if the person, I told somebody once in our yeshiva many years ago, whose parents didn't want him to sit and learn, the bracha was mukhshar in tremendous. He was a bal kishrin, a masmid, awesome. Fast forward 20 years later, he's at yeshiva somewhere. But besides that, his parents were very against it. And we were talking about it. And I told him, I can't push you over the cliff. I can hold your hand, but you have to jump. It's not my right to tell you to do something that, you know, it meant b'shaita, it could have meant a big price in terms of relationship. But if you jump, I can hold your hand as much as I can. So same thing is, you know, you need to help a person make a decision. The person has to make a decision, but you have to help them become aware. Is it a misguided guilty conscience? Is it misguided covet? Is it something that fakirti, just a momentary crisis, but it'll happen? Those are really individual issues, and I think any type of klal with it, that shlav is wrong.
So what do you Walk us through your sefer. It's the last day in yeshiva. It starts. Somebody's
right.
About to leave. They feel very badly about it.
By the way, there's an end chapter. Mitzvah, when we get to the end, about a change, a shift in his mind as he's leaving, how he sees himself. It's the very last page. So
okay,
I
did all the way till page 175,
okay.
Section between us and Hashem. That's where I'm up to. Believe
right.
it, I'll
so,
finish
so,
it. Yeah, it's the last. I missed the last chapter, but it's in there. So walk us through your, I would say, someplace between 50 and 85% or 90% of people are going to leave yeshiva.
Yes.
Right? Right? Something in the high, it's 10-15% are
right.
going to be koi kodesh. What do the others do? You know, v'gisa b'yayim and v'layla, you know, l'yamush terezami picha. What do you do? How do you deal with this? Talk to us. Walk us through the thoughts of your sefer for constructing a Torahdika
right.
life.
But the first thing is, and this, I guess, this is more towards the end. The first thing is mapping out a sense of every person has a mission. And, you know, we've taken it so much for granted. And the yeshiva pushes learning because it's supposed to, and that does bring out the best in a teenager. But the whole musig, if you remember an old Hamish Yid that put on towels and stone, that and with Vekus, that helped somebody. That I remember a watchmaker who sat and was diligent. There was a gera, the famous Egemach. He used to live in near Hof Strauss. There was a very famous, you know. People need to say to themselves, is not a heter. It's whatever it is that life has sent me, I need to do it. I need to do it asking myself, you know, what's my chiyuv now? What am I supposed to do? If it's mammon, if there's an honesty, construction, anything I do to do it right, if a person's, it has a lot to do with a person's mindset and has a lot to do with making sacrifices. You know, it's people, unfortunately, the bifurcation today is between a yeshiva man or making a lot of money. I think that's where it's unhealthy. A person is at home. You know, my father's kind of racha. He was a shamas mishul. But the words and the terms he used, avekshtala mishpacha, I don't think anyone today even could relate to those words. What does it mean? Avekshtal mishpacha, ufhadavin kinder, raising children. People think of it in terms of some super chinuchu, giving the time to study the child, caring about people around you, greeting people nicely, being nice to people. You know, a person is given life, so we every minute of it. And the problem is, in yeshiva, it's a very clear-cut mahalach in terms of what is Avodas Hashem, and you know, the screws up turn are tight in a strong place, and that's that. Here, you're on your own to figure it out, but a person needs to sit down and start thinking and begin to understand life is there to mold him. I believe the Gemara says that you stand up for Zaken Hashmai, because Kamahar Patkai Oda de Haigavri. He went through a lot of experiences. If you see that elder Yid that went through a lot, and it's a different feeling. He's real when he talks about Amunah and Bitochen and Emes and Erlichkeit and Yashrus. You have a sense it's not a kid talking out of school with a childish type of hype. You feel it's baked in his bones. He's passed up one opportunity, another opportunity, and suffered hardships, and it wasn't easy, and it was Nevater, and this, and that. But they meld a person. You look at a person who's oiskebeit from life because he took it the right way. You open up your eyes, and you see somebody worthy of respect. The problem is, the main problem as I see it is, where do we have time? And I know it, being an yeshiva, it's like, you don't say chas shmuz at the age of 18, so you say chas shmuz, and by the time the guy is almost too busy to hear the chas shmuz, had a fear of stoop. We've had now yeshiva, tkufas vadim, for exactly these topics, when you go out, and so on and so forth. They were not popular. They weren't well attended. And then, 10 years later, a guy keeps calling up with Silas and Snap, say, well, we spoke about it. But it didn't mean anything. That's where I see her, where I don't know how to, you know, how do we deal with it?
Rav Aaron, one of the things that you speak about the Mesil Susharim and Shara Kedusha.
Yeah.
And excuse my, I think the Hasidim got this a little more right than the Litvisha. The Litvisha was about the cult of Eisfax and Zion, Rav Kivega, the Vilna Goyen, which happened twice in history, by the way, or Tameach, which happened a third. And the concept of you know, what you bring from the Mishnah Bura, that everybody could be a Chassid Gomer, and that the shoemaker is on as high as a level as the person as the Kohen Gadol, it's not a Litvisha concept. This Mesil Shishara must have been stuck in there by some Hasidic Rebbe or something. But it's something, in other words, it's you know, it's almost Karl Marx versus Adam Smith. In other words, the concept of the regular person has a real mission and a real tachlis, and if he's Mekayim, this tachlis, he's as big as a Kohen Gadol. Could you talk about that a little? I mean, we learned together by Rav Moshe Shapiro, so besides just being a big Rosh Hashiva, you're unique in that you're a Bilbog Balmachshava too. Give us the Olam a taste of this Mesil Shisharim.
Well, you know, to be very fair, there are many drachim. I do write in the one of the drachim about the milah Hasidim. I point three milahs, and one of them is exactly what you pointed out. But we need also to look at the other side, and to understand, anyone who you know, when you deal in life and people offer different products or whatever it is, you basically learn that. Very rarely something perfect. It's usually a trade-off. In these areas, the Hasidim have made a tremendous. Yes, the fact that they never start out with the Shiva being a Kivegov to be Erlechid and so on and so forth is a big help. They don't go through this crisis. The flip side is there's a certain life and energy in the learning in yeshiva, a certain understanding. It's based on the fact that people want to excel personally. It's almost in there's a story. The Alter Slabotka, when he was already sick in Hebron, the Ger Rebbe was in Israel, and he came to visit him. And he saw that the Alter had a few Talmidim around him, so he said, "Ich zehaz, ihr macht euch Chassidim, that you also make Chassidim. Not only we, but also." But the Alter didn't say anything. When he left, the Alter said, "I try to make Rebbes, not Hasidim." You know, when a person's life is kind of, you just be another cog in the machine, and your job is to make sure the Rebbe has what he needs, and everything goes to the Rebbe, it has a limit. It limits. It you know, you don't have the personalities that have come out and done. You have, but it's much limited. So there's a mila in Litvish Mahalach. There are also people, you'll find people that sort of, it's too constricting. They think they, you know, there are people that have made it to the Meir Yeshiva Dor Chassidus, and basically they remained Hasidim pro forma, but tachlis they don't eat knedlach, but their mindset is somewhere else. You probably remember some of those. It's them in this area. Yes, Hasidim definitely don't have the crisis because they never had that setup we have. On the other hand, they struggle with their own struggles and. Most Hasidic yeshivas in America today, the good ones try to get Rosh Yeshivas who learned in Litvish yeshivas. You know, that's the better yeshivas will take somebody. So there is a trade-off there, and in this area, they definitely, just the way it's set up, I think they're ahead of us. And you know, like you said, in this area. But you have to know if it's something that would work for a lot of people, because the stronger people, the balakishan, the thinkers, the ambitious, the people that have that Adam Smith knach are not so happy, you know, flowering potatoes for the good of the people.
So talk to us about the Mesil Susharim. The Mesil Susharim writes that the Adam hach pashut, but he does it. He says, "What's the Lashon? Har yachal yes chassid gamer." Could you explain that to us?
So I'll explain it not remotely, but I think it's true to Dick. People tend, and this is why I think they make a mistake with all these things, whether they talk about Chol Rechecha De'eyu or Dismissal Sisharim and so on. It's sort of, what I'm doing is also good. So, you know, you don't have to sit and learn, you can be Elohi Dismissal and so on and so forth. It's seen, usually the way people mutter it is as an excuse, as Mekenzain Azeh, you can play basketball and snap and be a good Tayyid and Chol Rechecha De'eyu and so on and so forth. And maybe they think it means wearing a yarmulke or something. But flip it around. Imagine a person works in a hospital as an aide. He's in a nursing home as an aide. It's pretty much low on the totem pole. Kemat doesn't get lower than that. This person, imagine, came a poor person from some far-fetched country, and he can't get a job. There's a job he has. So one way to go about it is to grumble and say, I've ended up cleaning up old people, and that's it. Another way is saying, Ribbono Shel Olam put me here to take people that are sick and ailing and cast away, and I sit with them, and I talk with them, and I wash them around, and they come to life. So a person who would really have that attitude would be a malach. I would be in awe of a person like that. It's very easy to sit on a mizrach and to roll your eyes and say, I'm God's gift to humanity. But when you're doing hard stuff and rough stuff, and that's one of the problems with women today. What secular culture has put into us is you're prestigious if you're a lawyer in a big firm, and you're also firm. So that's wonderful. That's very accomplished. But if you sit patiently with kids and you're up at night with them and you do it because of a sense of mission, this is what the Rebbe put me in the world for, to give life to a bunch of kids, to give them warmth, to give them what they need. That's chassidus. And it takes a lot. There's a story from I don't remember who it was, one of the first chassidim, early chassidim, maybe a melech or somebody, the chassidim asked him, they want to see a real anav. So he sent them to some farukta stable somewhere, some clothes, and they saw Yid, like a very, very humble Yid, and they asked him, what do you know? He wasn't to become chacham, and money, nothing, and this, nothing. But he was a big anav. And then they came back to the Rebbe and said, you know, we didn't see anything in him. He said, to not have anything and still be an anav, that's shbitzaniv. For a person to say, to really feel, you know, I am where HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And to, you know, that is something that's what it means. I want to tell you a person who was a big Muslim in my life. His name was Reb Zeidel Epstein. I was close to Reb Zeidel when I was young, and Reb Zelig in the last years of his life. He was my das Torah. But Reb Zeidel was my Rebbe in 11th grade and 12th grade and in camp, and very instrumental in sending me off to the Mir. And we had him for 11th and 12th grade. He was Reb Shimon Shkopfer Talmud. We never did in Shia more than Gemara, Rashi, Tosis, Mashah, Maram. Those are the form we used, and that's what we did. We asked him, you know, the Shia had some good kids, some really bright kids, and used to chat about Reb Shimon, and he would say, next year you'll have a Shmuel David Vashavchik. He's a big lamdan, he really knows his stuff. I'm a malamed. He told us twice, I remember vividly, that he told us two Reb Shimons in 2 years. So after he was nifty, he was Mashkech and Torah for many years, he was 100 when he was nifta. So I was speaking to the person writing his biography in Hebrew, and I told him that he never saw Reb Shimon. He said, what are you talking about? He was always saying over Reb Shimon. And I couldn't figure out. I said, but, and then I chapped. He was in a yeshiva gdola, and over there he needed, that was the right place. He was teaching boys, so okay, we were 11th and 12th graders, but we were boys. Reb Shimon's Torah was poison for us. He needs to teach us Kometz Aleph Ah. And that's what he does. And you know, I wrote about him. He helped me make a decision, should I go to Mir or Panovich. The boy who was sitting behind me went to speak to him, was a boy almost completely off the derech, and he had to choose between City College or I forgot what else, And he sat with him with the same patience. Is this a little bit better for you? This a little bit, is, you know, if a person would understand whatever task HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, he could be memaled. It depends on his attitude, his feelings, his emotions, and so to it. Then that's what he means over there.
Rabbi, could you give us over two or three of, you think, the most powerful messages? I mean, it's probably hard to do that, but there's so many amazing messages. The Vart you bring from the Kedushas Levi. But pick what you think, some of the three, a few of the powerful messages from your Sefer.
So the things that have moved me is the Weissmandel piece where he speaks about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world and believed in every Nivra. That, you know, he says, Kela Muna, Shehemen Ba'olam Abra'oi, and a person in HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in you, how could you not believe in yourself? The idea that every person is whenever we suffer a challenge, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels we're up to it. And to me, that was very, very powerful. The Aruch HaShulchan that I quote about being honest, not just that you don't cheat somebody, but a word is a word. Somewhere along the line, you know, when I was growing up, again, I keep referring back because I see the conscious and where things came from. So being good was all about what your third grade public school teacher told you. Good manners, be clean, say hello, say thank you, very nice, and that. So we came along with a message, Torah is by far beyond its own, and so forth. But somewhere along the line, it replaced it. Instead of it being on top of it, you know, if you give your word, a word is a word, you can act mensach with people, you can be firm without being abrasive. You know, a person in business has to be firm, this is my line and this is it. It doesn't have to be nasty. Whenever we find an anti-Semite, we have to ask ourselves, yes, he could be a psychopath, but did I do what it takes to make the person admire Jews? You know, is my interaction with the people positive or not? I mean, that to me, there's an Aruch HaShulchan saying that when we talk about a person being erlich, doesn't mean just that you don't cheat. It means that he's perceived very strongly that, you know, there are no corners cut. Let me see if I can think of what other things were powerful to me.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Something that is alluded to but not directly. When is the right time to leave Kollel?
You know, it's almost like the question: when is the right time to find a shidduch? When is a person begins to feel somewhere along the line that, you know, either he just doesn't have the oomph, or he's really, you know, it's irresponsible to keep going this way. Those are things that they're hagashis. And like a shidduch, when is the time to do a shidduch? It's a build-up. You begin to feel you lonely. You begin to feel you need a wife. You begin to feel it's, you know, you've been a bacha too long. It's hard, but it has to be. But a person has to understand that there can come a time for that, and inevitably will come. And a person needs. I think one of the things I point out in the Sefer is, for people who are having goals in learning is a very important part of it. And therefore, being able to say, I want to finish these mesechtes. You know, each person can be erikoi, I want to get this down, I want that down. At least it gives you certain landmarks to say what you're doing. I think that's a very important part of it. I'll tell you a word that Moshe said once. He said it from the Balatanya, I believe. That it says, "Nigmar and Tainis Vaykoisel Chabrochat Belidai Mad Belidai." So I think Rabbi Yechon says, "Achivus Sesechem Loimadai." So the Baal Tanya asks. Actually, Moshe said over this time of the year. He said it over by. He said it's the Yemi Lulav, the person. I think it was around this time of the year. Actually, a long time ago, he said it. He says usually Chazal amplify a pasuk. The pasuk says. 10 makis, Chazal say 50 makis, 250 makis. they usually the derech of Drush is to amplify. And here, believe that means infinite. Ad sheyivus yisaychem is a shear. I mean, the lips have a shear. So he said over that beligvul is a klala for people, because you can't live beligvul. You can't be typhus. It's meaningless. If somebody will give me a credit card, an ATM card that will never run out, I'm not going to be terribly happy with it. I don't feel wealthy. Why? Because I can't count it. It's infinite. When I have a shear, means you reach a point that you say die, and then there's another phase, and another phase, and another phase. I think it'd be very helpful. So on the one hand, one of the things we've been taught in yeshiva, rightfully so, is that Torah is not a course, and you don't finish a semester, and you don't graduate, you know, and it's endless and infinite. It's true that that's mitzvah Torah. Mitzvah the person, there needs to be some sense of accomplishment. My shver zechon v'ruch used to push to learn very quickly, to learn a lot more. And my shver was not, he didn't express the whys very well, but he once told me something. He said, imagine your man is Torah, he has a Tikchal Chalil, and he's 3 days out of yeshiva. But if he comes back and he can't figure out what he missed in those 3 days, then he says to himself, you know, another 3 days is not terrible. I'll take another 3 days. You know, having goals, clear goals, what sugyos you're learning up, writing down, you know, the Chazanish wrote, so this. I think that would be helpful, and at least a person would feel that it didn't just run out, but it, you know, if a person was able to, he wants to learn Shabbos, he wants to learn Erevin, he wants to learn this, or boy from Kholi, you know, many people know going in that they're not staying for more than a 8 kufa. I think it's helpful, and I do refer to that afterwards, about sort of trying to give metrics to what you're going to learn. So true, we need to start with the Hanacha Torah is b'ligvul. You know, it's not semesters, it's not grades, not this. But tachlis, it's much more helpful if you have clear bullets.
The Rambam worked for most of his life, from 36 and on, or 35 and on, right?
I don't think that's true, actually.
Okay.
I mean, the Rambam, it's one of the mistakes. The Ramban actually worked, and the Rambam didn't.
The Rambam was a doctor. His brother died when he was in his mid-30s, that's from I remember the history. And after
it had to be later, because those were the years that he wrote. The Mishnah Torah was written with his brother's, you know, on his brother's dime, so to speak. And then his brother died, and he was very tzibrachal from it. And then he went to work at some point as a doctor after that. That's correct, yes.
You weren't right. So the Rambam worked. He writes, there's a famous letter which I have hanging in my study when he writes about his Seyda Hayoyim. Have you ever seen
right.
it?
Right. Yeah,
incredible.
Sure. And he writes, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, continue.
No, you continue. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
So the Rambam worked. Rabbeinu Tam was a vinter. Rashi was a vinter. Rabbi Yochanan Asandl. I mean, the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, he goes through all the Tanoim and Amoroim who worked, right?
Right.
To me, that is a model, and I'm curious. I didn't necessarily feel that in the Sefer as an idea. In other words, there was once a different mahalach before. I mean, even in the Marcheshes was a balabas.
Yeah.
Right. It's a relatively new phenomenon that the concept of is okay. It's koil, and I think in the whole litter there were maybe 30 guys or 40 guys, a handful in the two koilim. There was one in Radin and one in Ponovich, right?
In
the two, but there was a concept of you could work, you could steig in learning, even if you're working, even if the hours are much less, but you could develop a maturity of life, the maturity of thinking. Even when you're at work, when you come back to the Gemara, you're looking at it as an adult with different eyes, you know? And why isn't that a model that we embrace more? I mean, we talk about Shevet Levi. We would make the argument that the Rambam was Shevet Levi. I mean, the Mishnah Torah became the predecessor to the Torah, which became the predecessor to the Shulchan Aruch. And that model of the model of the Marcheshes, it seems to be in our generation as another alternative to saying, accept your lot and understand that you could be one of the army and the Mishneh Berurah. Do you embrace this idea or not?
I think it's one of the ideas that I think there's a big distortion projecting it, and I'll tell you why. I had a neighbor next door in Azar Bira. His name was Hersla Yalon, very fine Yid. He was a Hungarian Yid. I think even had smicha from Satmi. He grew up Satmi. His father was a big rav. His grandfather was a big rav in Hungary. He became Mizrahi he told me he was ready before the war. Yes, the Rebbe didn't know about it. During the war, he came to Israel. He was a commander in South Yerushalayim of a thing. And he was a assistant mayor in Be'er Sheva. A very big chacham, geshmaka person. He was my next door neighbor. And I enjoyed his company a lot, mitzmuz. And he once told me, you know, it never was a mol. It was, you know, Torah was with Derech Eretz and this and that, and why don't the yeshivas have this? And so I told him, and then he gave me something, the Rambam was a doctor and this and that. I said, you're the one that's responsible. I said, you have a university, Bar Ilan. You have schools. If you would produce major Talmidei Chachamim, they would close down all the yeshivas. If the model that they would produce, when I grew up in America, Yeshiva University was the biggest institution. Lakewood was a fly on the wall, numerically and so on. And the only reason why it changed was it was a model that succeeded for Yechidei Sgula. Yes, Rav Salvechik could learn a yam of other chachmas and be a Talmud Chacham or Baron Lichtenstein, but you could count them on one hand, two hands. For the Hamoinam, it just doesn't go. You're somebody that's Oisik and many other things. How many other people? It takes a certain brain. I mean, the base of Ephraim, it takes a certain level of brains, focus. And you know, society, it used to be that you had these Renaissance people who knew so much. Today, you go to a cardiologist, all he knows is about the ventricle that he's expert in. Chas v'shalom, if the aorta is the problem, you have to go to the aorta specialist. And yes, there are people chacham that knows everything. I think if you really want Torah, taking a model of the exceptions is distorting. The Rambam was a mess on all chachmah. The Rambam writes that there's come out nothing that he didn't see or hadn't read, philosophy, avodah zarah, everything. But you try to do it in a school. Take a look. In a school setting, how many kids are able to handle many things? There are Yechidei Sgula, but so in the big picture, if we want to have people that are Yedei Sefer, that know and this and that, you can't. I remember the world before yeshivas, and that's why it's so precious, because that world was a very fragile world. The Rabbanim that America produced until the revolution were not major Mechama. And again, yes, Baron Lichtenstein was Chad Bedorah, and there were maybe three, four others like him. Most others were not. Somebody wrote a book about the golden era of Rev Silva, and the basic thesis was it was a wonderful world when Rabbanim ran America and Rosh Hashivas killed it. Let me tell you, I have a good memory for these things. I remember when mixed dancing at shul functions was norm, when Rabbanim couldn't make Alanis if they had to, when everything was subpar, and the revolution created a mapecha. The question is, where's the next step? How do we move forward and produce that every single person be the Erlich Yid that he's supposed to be, that whatever the person is doing, he sees it, he approaches his accounting with the Chardes HaKodesh that a Yid approaches his teaching, or whatever it is that he's doing. That's a challenge. That's the challenge of our door and the next door, Mr. Shem.
And that's the purpose of the Sefer. Do you take any inspiration, Reb Aaron, from the Esav and Yaakov, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Yitzchak, this is right in your, this is your Chinuch Bar Moshe, Yitzchak loved Esav. He was the Ish Sadeh. I guess he thought he could teach Ace of Torah, right? And Yaakov wanted always to become that Ish Sada. But Yava Yaakov Minasada, he steals the brachas. His only claim to Gashmius is while wearing Big Day Esav.
Right.
Do you see in that any metaphor for the Yid in America today, post Yeshiva, who, after he leaves Yeshiva, has to be Loivish Big Day Esav, go out into the workplace, learn some type of a practice, either a profession or be an entrepreneur, but deal with Esav, wear Big Day Esav, and on the other hand, you know, Habi Yadayim Yadei, HaKol Kol Yaakov HaYadayim Yadei Esav, some type of the Yaakov who steals the brachas, right?
Right.
Do you see in that any the dmus of the American post-yeshiva?
You know, I think your tushtel to Yaakov Esav is a very good tushtel, and in the sense that Yaakov needed to be able to use Esav's Yadayim and many things like that and not be tainted by it. You know, there were people like Rav Neuberger Zechon Livracha, who was a neighbor of ours in Baltimore, and he was a person who was a consummate man of the world, understood the wheelings and dealings, political wheelings and dealings, interaction with business people. He was a consummate professional in the broad, in interacting with society, and yet his apartment, when people came to Nachum Avil, his apartment was Yeshiva Lane. He his own life was simpler and simple, and he made a conscious effort to be mevatel himself, that Rosh Yeshiva is Rosh Yeshiva and this and that. That's a very inspiring person. You know, the problem, when people say you can also do this or that, it's also is a bad word. It's a whole Torah how to do it and do it Yaakovdik, that nothing sticks to you, that as soon as you take off the coat, there's a famous story, I think it was the Altan Avardik, that when she heard, he used to work as a miller, and when he overheard his wife say, "I can't get the flour out of the shirts," that's when he quit. The ability to be able to say, this is what I do and this is who I am, you know, that's a very, very tough challenge, and I think it's a challenge of outdoor. Our world is interacting with the world outside tremendously, and we need to do it with the language they use, with some of the mahalchim, the marais, everything, and yet it needs not to become us. That's a challenge.
Now, what I found very interesting, Rav Aaron, in your sefer vis-a-vis many others, is, for example, and I won't name this forum, they'll write something like, you know, Yaakov said, there's a verse, a famous verse, it says, Taryag mitzvah shamarti, im lovan garti, so they say over how, he says, vayihili sharva chamor, as lovan at oiske kuk tzimir, v'yashorva chamor, memela habachiken zayin taryag mitzvah shamarti. In other words, it's about going into the workplace, dealing with people respect, not seeing the people in the workplace as sharva chamor, and yet still maintaining your Kedushas Yisrael, your Ma'il of a Ben Torah. That's a very different spin than the Vayihili Shar V'Chamor, no?
Yes, I mean, there's a parak about it, us in the world. Well, this is the point Rav Olba writes, Barichus. You know, we as Mechanchim take shortcuts, and instead of teaching our kids the Ma'il of Yisrael, we sort of take a very childish, the goyim del roitzchim del neufim, there's nothing there, no chachma, they're all stupid. I remember when I came here, so for many years I commuted back and forth, my kids didn't, you know, it was very hard to move all my kids, there's different ages. So my kids would come occasionally to visit, and I had a 10-year-old boy at the time, an 8-year-old boy, they came for a visit, and they're wandering the halls of this high school, and they asked one of the boys if all the English teachers are frum. So the boy said, no, they're not even Jewish. And my boy turned white, and he said, do they whip the kids terribly or not? Like his only picture of a guy was a Boris in his coloring book. You know, they had Natsi Yisrael, they have these picture books. Boris, or even is always like Red Sheik with a big club, clubbing people. So that was his vision of it. It doesn't do anyone good when you exaggerate, say, there's no chachmas or this or that. Because what happens is, you Google and all of a sudden there's a lot of chachma. You meet people. And
they're very nice, and they could be very nice.
Right. And the only
thousands and thousands of goyim showed up when they did the memorial in Pittsburgh.
Yes, and people are nice and civil, and
what happens is if they say if this wasn't true, what else isn't true?
Correct. That's one of the problems. The shortcuts we take, it comes back to haunt us. And today, we're on the internet. That everything is available on the internet, the main challenge is that we need to be truthful and honest. And if you build your vision that everything is bad except for us, it's not going to take long for someone to figure it out. But if you do the truth, and the emes is there's chachma begoyim, there was Antoninus, there was all sorts of people that Chazal point out to that they were machshiv. And yet, the Chochmas Yisrael starts where that ends. According to Evan Ezra,
Shifra and Pua were Matzel Klal Yisrael, were Goyisha women.
Yeah.
To say nothing of Basia.
Okay. So, but still, it's a very, and I think it'll raise us up. Instead of saying we're automatically better, somebody asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who's better, a good guy or a bad yeet? So the Rebbe answered, it depends whether you're talking about koyach or befoil. In other words, what we believe about Yisrael is that the neshama we have transcends anything possible using just earthly koyaches, and a yeet has in him to go l'shamayim. But a yid also can become a Yerav Menevat. A yid can become Chas HaShalom. There's no guarantees. We have potential, and we have. And it's also when you compare the Chachmas, you want to compare. We talk. The Chachmas Yisrael is talking about worlds beyond our physical world, and that's why it's so magnificent, so beyond. But when whenever you try to sort of just knock what's around you, doctors don't know anything. Why does that have to be the mantra? Why isn't it that doctors know a person's body, but the neshama is lisof? That's what we deal with. I think if we would have the right picture, it would be helpful for us.
You're saying that the shortcuts that we use are helpful as long as you're in a very insulated and small environment.
Correct.
But once you get out of it, we recognize that they're not true very often, and that creates problems because we haven't learned to deal with the reality.
Correct. It's a ktsara she'arucha. You take a so-called shortcut, and then when you find out that is a horrible oversimplification or distortion, then you leave people dried up. And I think that's one of we pay a price for our laziness and for our not being emes with ourselves.
So, Rabaron, do you think your sefer is encompassing, from leaving yeshiva, struggling with it, going to work, bringing up a family,
right,
setting up... shouldn't, in a place like Lakewood, and the great yeshivas, shouldn't they have almost a seder in how to deal with... what's the next step? It's like, we do a fantastic job, and I really mean that. The yeshivas in America, and I'm proud to say, look, my wife's grandfather is Reb Shraga Feivel. He certainly had a hand in it. But they've done an incredible job, and historically, we've never created, since the Dor of Chizki, as many Talmidei Chachamim as we're creating today.
Right.
Every child knows the amount of kids going off the derech is at a low, a 500-year low. But yet, everybody, and then they're just pushed right off a cliff. Why don't the great yeshivas like Lakewood, they should have some type of, your last 6 months in Kail, we have somebody who learned your sefer, went through it, and does a three-month course, how to deal with life after Kail. You can't just throw people off a cliff, which is what happened to me, by the way.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going back to your pitting Karl Marx against
Adam Smith.
So I'm a believer in consumer-driven economics. You know, everybody says the girls should get together, Shiva should do it, so on and so forth. A, I think if people would want it, LaMarshall, if parents pick a yeshiva for their kids, if a person picks a kollel to go to, what are they looking for? If he's not looking for it, the kollel's not going to provide it. You know, a person, the reason why, it's not true that the reason why we teach Shechveis, Noshim, Zika, Natsuroyim has to do because the yeshiva's decided. It's at the bottom of the line, if I open yeshiva to teach Zeroyim, I'm not going to have any Talmidim. If I open up a kollel to teach the beginning of Kedushin, I'm not going to have a kollel. So if people would demand it and want it and feel it's important for their son, if the questions they would ask when sending their son to yeshiva is, will he have a Rebbe? Will he have somebody that he can that he can talk over life with? Can give him a picture of life? Is he the person? Do I want him to look like his Rebbe Mitzad Tzuras Adam? Is that question ever asked? So don't come to complain when you as a consumer are looking for something else. Secondly, it's a problem just the way the system has worked out, and I don't know what the answer is. It used to be a bachas sat, much less in Tells, just picking in my days, Tells was kind of a heyday. So he was a yeshiva, he got married, he stayed in Kreidel, so his Rebbe moved with him. His Rebbe related to him as a young bacher, you know, the way he relates a young bacher, alter bacher, a younger man, and then an abal bas. So there was a certain sense, there was a time when a Rebbe could sit down and tell him and give him that picture. But what happens today, just the way things are set up, is you stay in a yeshiva till you're about 20, so you barely have matured, and then you run off to Brisk or to Mir, and you're there 2 years. So Brisk and Mir are way beyond possibly, you know, even though, I mean, I'm familiar with the Mir more, Rev Elephant does heroic effort to keep, but it's impossible. And then you go back to BMG, which is a wonderful Makom Torah. It's a place where you can learn anything you want to anybody. It's an amazing Makom, but it's not even a Havamina that it's possible to have a Rebbe, and it's not in the culture. It's not in the system. So, you know, I don't know what can change. And Baruch Hashem, going to Yisrael is a tremendous boon for people. You were not Yisrael. I was saying I was Yisrael most of my life. But I don't know what the answer is, but I think possibly in a kollel, if right now most Rosh HaKollelim are just there to raise the salaries. They say chaburis. But if people were to look for that, then it would happen. You know, it's the consumer always wins, because if you open up a kollel, nobody shows up because you're learning a limud nobody wants to learn. You're gonna learn a different limud. So I believe if a parent cared about his son and didn't just say, okay, the only way he'll get the shidduch I want is if he does A, B, and C, and that's the right tag to have. But if he'd ask himself, who is he gonna have a kesher with? Who's gonna be his rebbe? Who's going to be the person that will set an example for him? Who's a person they can sit down and talk in the next stage in life? I think if the tzibur comes to it, it'll be meila mashpia lemala, you know? That's my feeling.
I once heard from Reb Moshe, he said, by Vayetzi Yakim Bershov, Ve'elech Haran, Avivka, Makam, Yolan Shom, Rashi says that night he slept, but 14 nights prior he didn't sleep 14 years because he learned by Shem Ve'ever.
Right.
So Reb Moshe Zechayin Levracha Zechatzalik Levracha asked, why did he learn by Shem Ve'ever? Like, he had just finished. Yaakov Avram Avinu had a huge yeshiva, the Rambam writes, in the beginning of Avodah Zarah.
Right.
Well, the Talmidim, his father Yitzchak, what's it then Eitzkefeld? Why did he go to Shem Ve'ever?
Yeah.
So he said, there was the Torah of Avram Avinu, and then there's the Torah of Shem Ve'ever, and the Torah of Shem Ve'ever is the Torah that he needed before he went to live by Lavan.
And it was
a different Torah. It was different than the Torah of Avram and Yitzchak, the Torah of Eretz Yisrael, the Torah of Avos Hein and Amarkova. Was the Torah that he needed. So is it? I mean, aren't we missing a little bit today the Torah of Shem Ve'ever? Like, is your safer in a certain extent the Torah of Shem Ve'ever before you're going to go im lavan garti, What do you have to take with you from yeshiva? What's remaining? What should you never let go of? What do you have to embrace? What type of a family life? What type of a learning life? Would you say that this vart a little bit identifies the mission of what your sefer?
You know, I would like to put the words my boshe lahoyer. I'm really hoping that I don't believe that a book can do it for people. You know, the individual Rebbe interaction, knowing the Talmud, understanding what to say, who to say, what, when to say, is the most valuable piece of it. And somewhere along the line, it's also Nagel Marshall about them looking for a Rav in a shul. So, you know, what are you looking for? So everybody wants a Paisik, you know, especially somebody that can be makel for what they need coolers for. So that's the number one priority. If people like to have a nice speaker, is good. But if a person doesn't look to go further, and he doesn't have that, so he's not going to look for it. Is there somebody that can navigate a group of people, move them forward? I you know, like I said, it's a challenge of the next generation. It's more about, I guess I would hope that my furthest fantasy with it is that it opens up, it crystallizes a certain need I think everybody intuitively feels. People at least can put a finger on it, the Torah Hemshech, and you know, and people should still suit to be the people that can provide it, because at the end of the day, you know, personal relationship, guidance, etc., is what it's about. You can't. It has so many variables. That's why the sefer is kind of short, concise, because I needed to touch on point. The more specific I got, the less it was going to get to more and more people. And my hope is that this is, we grow into the next phase, Be'ez Hashem, that people have, I guess, Rabbanim, Irash HaKoyel would see that part of their job is not only the learning part of HaKoyel, but more than anything else, people need this guidance, and they'll be their people to provide it. That's what I could hope for.
Rabbi Aaron, Agresi Ashukoyach, that was
okay.
A Goyen, Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky, who just wrote a sefer. It's called Urches Chaim, which the Novominska Rebbe in the Hagdama writes, Asher hu ke'ein sefer mesilus yesharim, hekef machshaftei b'chol habayes hakruchos b'matzav hachayim asher lefaneinu. He calls it a sefer mesilus yesharim for the modern generation. It's a great honor to have you on with us.
Okay, I got David. Take care.
Hold up, bye-bye.
It's an honor to have with us Harav HaGoyin, Reb David Cohn.